Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. Now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host, along with my son, Zach. What a joy to have you join us. Today, our subject is sacred parenting, how raising children shapes our souls. Our special guest is Gary Thomas. Gary is the author of numerous books that together have sold more than 2 million copies. They've been translated in more than a dozen languages and won numerous awards. His most recent publications include Sacred Parenting, our subject today, and Married Sex, A Christian Couple's Guide to Reimagining Your Love Life. His writings have established him as a thought leader in the areas of marriage, parenting, and spiritual formation. He's one of my favorites. Gary, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Tim, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Gary, I know this. Parenting's not for cowards. Dobson taught us that a long time ago. But if you think about it, every parent listening right now knows whether or not you're close with your kids. It's just wired into us. I can say my daughter's name, Megan, and reflect on her, our relationship, and I know where we're at. My son, Zach. I know where we're at, Gary. God somehow, again, does this down inside of our hearts. And there isn't anything probably more significant, more important in the life of an adult, of a parent, than that connectedness, that bond. But Gary, talk to us about the parent bond and why another parenting book, why this thesis on sacred parenting is so important.
Yeah. As you know, Tim, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not a psychologist, a counselor. I don't have your degrees or expertise. So I really wrote this as a pastor to help parents look at how the process of parenting changes the parent. We're so focused on changing our kids. We want them to have good manners. We want to make sure that they become safe. We want to make sure that they're respectable people, that they get a job, that they treat others well. That's all so important. What I wrote the book for was to help parents open their eyes to what if, in fact, God wants parenting to change you and to grow you. God doesn't have grandchildren. We're all children. So God looks at us as his children. And I remember one time talking with a bunch of close friends, and this is when our kids were in their teenage years, and you start to see issues, and you kind of wish you would have done things differently and whatnot. I remember saying to them, you know, I wish I could have a do-over. And this is just start now, knowing what I know now. I think I've grown in the Lord. I think I have a little more wisdom. And when I was praying after that, I felt God challenging me, saying, Gary, what do you think gave you that wisdom? What do you think grew your character? It was the process of you being a father. And I knew you weren't perfect when I gave you these kids, but I also knew as you would help them grow, I could use them to help you grow. And it just was an approach of parenting I hadn't seen addressed before.
Gary, they don't come with a manual. I mean, there are a lot of books and stuff out there, but boy, they don't come with a manual. And they're really, hey, they're born into this or through this process, as you call it, labor. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly right. They come in with a lot of moaning and groaning, Gary. But talk to us about, You opened up the book stating that the more time you spent with your kids, the more they seemed to open you up to the presence of God in your life and in their lives. How does that compute, Gary? How does that make sense?
I think so many parents have felt this, that when you're holding your child, and I think our firstborn just met this child, right? That's a little different for the guy. She hasn't been growing inside of me. I've just met her, realizing I would take a bullet for her. I will do everything I can for the rest of my life. Her happiness, her welfare is going to be a high priority in my life. And then when we realize that God calls us his children, Ephesians 5:1, that we are dearly loved children. We're not unwanted children. We're not resented children. It just gave me a greater understanding of how God looks at me and being able to receive that. Because I know if I, being an imperfect, selfish, not the best father, still feels all of this for my kids, it's overwhelming to think what God feels for us.
Sacred Parenting, How Raising Children Shapes Our Souls. I just love the thesis there behind it, Gary. But you say the process of raising children requires skills that only God possesses. I thought that was fascinating. Take us into, give us a little theology lesson and why that makes sense to you and how that applies to us as moms and as dads.
It was actually encouraging to me in that, Tim, I don't know that anyone wanted to be a better father than I wanted to be. That sounds arrogant. So I'm not putting, but I just really did want to be a good dad. I wanted to be the best dad in the whole wide world. I was reading books on parenting, daily listener to Focus on the Family, anything I could get my hands on, because I knew I didn't have all the training and all the wisdom and all the education. But then it hit me. The Bible is relatively silent about how to raise kids. It's shocking how little there is about the practical how-tos of parenting in the Bible. There are a few verses here and there. Paul says, husbands don't, or fathers don't exasperate your children.
Yep.
A little bit in Deuteronomy about teaching them the word or whatnot. While there are thousands of Christian books about the right way to raise your kids, they're really just a few Bible verses. And I believe if there was one right way to raise every kid, God would have told us that, because I think his word is sufficient for us. And it struck me that while the Bible doesn't have a lot about how to raise kids, the Bible goes out of its way to emphasize to parents, you need to grow in patience, in kindness, in humility, in compassion, and in courage. And strong verses like 2 Corinthians 7:1 that says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So I didn't have to be a perfect parent to be the kind of dad I wanted to be. What I needed to be is a parent who was growing in the Lord. Because God says the stress should be on my growing myself. Because we know kids learn by example. They're watching us. They're looking at us. And so I think that's when Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. That's 1 Timothy 4:16. So Paul is telling Timothy, grow your church by growing yourself. And I would say to parents, parent your kids by parenting yourself.
Gary, what a responsibility God's given to us. I remember when Megan was born. I remember when Zach was born. Zach, by the way, had meconium and was kind of blue and all that stuff. It was scary when he was born, Gary. I also remember wanting to be a great dad like you. We grew up under Dr. Dobson and everybody, and I taught people everywhere, hey, time flies, and boy, has it flown. Gary, I remember the day I dropped Megan off in kindergarten. And it was a horrible day for me. I walked away from her classroom, and I drove around, I think, probably for a couple hours, just processing what I had just done. I had released her to someone who probably was going to spend as much or more time with her in a day than I was. And I thought it was mortifying to me that time had come. Gary, this responsibility, again, and I just want to stay on the home here for a moment, because I think it's the backdrop of sacred parenting and what you're talking about. For whatever reason, God has chosen the home to be the incubator, yes, out of which little hearts and hands are fashioned. How many times have we heard those words, the only thing you can take to heaven with you are your kids, with people you love? Seriously, there's nothing else you're going to get to take, just that. And so this spiritual significance, this connectedness, what we're doing, this sacred parenting thesis is everything in my heart and mind. It's how I look at my children, Gary. It's how I look at my grandkids. I mean, this is serious. This isn't play. And yet we're caught up in a world where we're prioritizing everything else in the world. Our phones are dictating everything. And the very most precious asset in the whole world is seated before us, or their noses are pressed up against the window pane waiting for us to come home. Gary, talk to us.
Well, I think understanding that why the home is so important takes us to our ultimate motivation for being parents. Just as a pastor, I've seen people have kids for some of the most selfish reasons possible. They want to have a close parent-child relationship. Now, I get that. I love the relationship I have with my son and my two daughters. I think that's a good reason, but it shouldn't be the ultimate reason. I've heard some people say, well, I want someone to be there for me in my old age, which hopefully will work, but I see so much parental estrangement that we can't count on that. Some say they feel like having children would save their marriage. They have no clue when they're doing that. I remember one comedian who said, I wanted to have kids so somebody would take on the family name until he became an adolescent, and I had to tell him, son, I don't care what name you give him, just don't give him mine. I think as Christians, we've got to ask ourselves, what is the reason that Christians have kids? Mm. What's the superior? Not for what we need, not for what we want. Because if we don't get what we want out of parenting, what I find is then we stop parenting. Because we can't determine how it's going to turn out. And if we did it because we wanted a close parent-child relationship and our child goes through a silent age, we're like, well, forget it then. I'm done with them. We all know it's not a one-to-one. Children raised with loving parents can go bad, and it seems like it's happening at an epidemic rate. But it is true. It's more likely that children are going to follow faith, be responsible citizens when they have a loving mother and father who rightly practice faith. And so when I realized that parenting is about him more than me, I had the motivation. My kids' silence doesn't determine the level of relationship I have with them. I'm going to pursue them regardless of what I get out of it. Because God seeks godly offering, he commands me to have children, and he wants me to train them up to follow him.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, host, along with my son, Zach. We're talking today with Gary Thomas. He's the best-selling author, probably read one of his books like Sacred Marriage, guy who's really dialed into the spiritual formation world. But we're talking about, again, his book, Sacred Parenting. And Gary, in the midst of it, you've got me thinking. I've gone through this journey. You never stop being a parent. I'm a grandparent now. I've got a little 5-year-old and almost 2-year-old granddaughters. But
we're
Gary,
exactly,
and
it's
amazing. Yeah, really.
5-year-old girl and a little 2.5-year-old boy.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Gary, this watching development all over again has been fascinating to me. And you make this statement up front, we are in the midst of holy teachers. And I thought, that's powerful, because a lot of who I am is manifested in how I respond and parent my children, my grandchildren. And there's a lot being exposed about, and I think this is true for all of us. This is a sacred journey here. And there's a process that's going on that's just – so then you step back from it and you think, okay, what then are my goals? What really am I trying to do as a parent? Is this about comfort or character? Is this about being safe or what have you with our kids, protecting them, or maybe overprotecting them or overindulging them, Gary, like we tend to do? Or is this about teaching them how to live and how to face pretty big bad world. And we talk about the big bad wolf. I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. But Gary, how do they deal with challenge and suffering and brokenness and evil and so much more? Put it in context for us, Gary, because I think we're spinning here somewhere. I love this. I do.
Well, ultimately, the challenge for me was Jesus' words in Mark 9:19 when he said, and this is kind of taking it out of context, but it directs my parenting thoughts. He says, bring the boy to me. Ultimately, the greatest gift we can give God is to pour out our souls to help our children connect with God. Now, again, I've seen incredibly godly parents have their hearts broken over children who don't embrace the faith and may even break the relationship. But as far as it depends on us, we want to be there to set up that loving example. But the key, when you said, you know, there are tiny teachers, what do I mean by that? Is that being a parent has pulled things out of me that I never knew I existed. Raising kids, the way they teach us, it just multiplies that. If I can learn to talk to my kids about sex, I can share the gospel with a stranger. That doesn't seem half as hard as that. If I can learn with my kids, I remember grilling a would-be boyfriend with one of my daughters, then I can challenge a brother that I think is going off into sin. And so really it's parenting that builds in me the qualities I need to be a more faithful minister before God. They're teaching me by calling me to become something I'm not yet, but I need to be to serve them.
Gary, what I love about this is it's a kind of a missional reframe is what's going on. You're reframing our activities in the context of what ultimately is our goal. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? So when you do that, then you start thinking, oh, then if this really is about a sacred journey, then I probably should be listening to the one who is the author of life itself and let him be instructive here. In other words, spending time on my knees with him, that, by the way, also then really drills into the lives of my kids. Because when they witness it and they see it, by the way, it's a tenderness. It's not about religious activity anymore. It's not about legalism. That's not what it's about.
Right.
It's wiring everything completely different, isn't it?
It is, 100%. And it's just recognizing that we're called to do this because we love the Lord, and they're going to challenge us and to say, what is this child teaching me about where I need to grow? For some women, I don't mean to sound sexist here, but we get to choose our crosses when we choose who we marry. If we marry an anxious person, we're going to have to learn to deal with anxiety. If we marry an undisciplined person, we're going to have to deal with being late. If we marry a selfish person, we're going to have to deal with... Those are choices we make when we choose to marry someone. God gives us our children. And I know people talk about nature and nurture, but there is a whole lot of nature in there. Our kids come out, and God often sends the exact kind of kid we need that can push our buttons. So a woman may find out that if I don't get courageous, I've got to learn how to be differentiated and to deal with that. Or a man might need to learn, hey, I know my wife said I'm not the most sensitive of guys. I'm not the gentlest of guys. And I have this super sensitive daughter. And I will lose her if I don't become gentle, as Christ said he was gentle in Matthew 11:29. And so it's recognizing, where do I need to grow to raise the child that God has given me? It's appropriate to train our kids, to discipline our kids, to challenge our kids. I'm just saying, in the process, we have to say, where do I need to grow to raise a kid who has these propensities and these challenges and these spiritual realities?
Gary, you remember that old song, What I Like About You? You really know how to dance. Okay, Gary, somewhere in this journey, you've got to put joy in your heart. You've got to have an alignment piece where in the midst of the frustration and those moments that do come where you're exasperated, you're like at wit's end. You don't know what to do. It's like, what have I done wrong? I mean, this is, everything is backwards. It's not showing up. I don't even want to take my kids to Sunday school. You know, one of those kind of things, because, and it's because we got our wiring wrong. Coming back and reframing and learning thankfulness. And even in the midst of all of it, Gary, speak to us. Help us draw that out.
Yeah. You know, I think this is partly why we want to be faithful in our marriages and faithful to our kids and true to our word, because there is so much joy in parenting. There's going to be guilt. There's going to be regrets. But you mentioned grandparenting, which for me, it's everything they said it would be. The joy, maybe because it's more recent, but I remember just with my 2-year-old grandson getting reconnected. It was the second day of a visit. I don't get to see him as much as I would like to because we live many states away. And we're just buds all day. And then I'm carrying him to the kitchen table and he looks at me and he goes, "Papo, I love you." I go, "Oh, I love you, buddy." He goes, "No, I love you. I love him." My son is just laughing. And Tim, that hit me as hard, at least almost as hard, as when my wife said yes, when I asked her to marry me. I so hope there are children in heaven, because I don't know anything that brings the joy that children do and the excitement. When I watch our children at church getting baptized, I'm not speaking of mine, the church's children, I'm tearing up every time. There's just this joy in children, particularly responding to the Lord, that's unlike anything else in human experience.
Gary, we could go all day. I love talking to you. I really do. And in the midst of it, Gary, my mind, and we're fighting the clock here, goes to what you called is a very boring chapter in the Bible. But it's something that can change your life forever. And Gary, I got it, the whole legacy piece. You know, I think about what we devote our time to. John Trent calls it chasing skinny rabbits, while ignoring our families, our primary legacy. You challenged your readers to think of yourself as a descendant and then as an ancestor. And yeah. Gary, as we go to close here in this conversation, brief conversation about sacred parenting, we need to have multiple conversations about this. But Gary, bring us home, reflecting on what it is that God has really called us to do and to be in our families.
I believe ultimately that parenting is about worshiping God by being true to having children because he calls us to, raising them to know him, Jesus' heart saying, "Bring the boy to me," and realizing that we're in this process with God, not performing for God, but that God loves our children even more than we do. He's reaching out to them. We're cooperating him. We're praying for them. And I think it's what Paul said to Timothy, that while I'm doing that, I realize that examples are so crucial. I want to purify myself from anything that could cause my children to stumble. Can't be the perfect man I would like to be, but I can be a man who's pursuing perfection. They could see growth from when I was in my 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond. And then just to thank God that we, as you said, there is nothing else like human experience when with your spouse or through adoption, you bring a child into this world and get to see him grow up and become the person God created them to be.
Yeah. The only thing you can take to heaven with you are your kids. I love the story, Gary, and I want to close this way. And when his son was while yet afar off, he saw him. Ah, and he said, "Hey, my son who was lost has come home." I know it can be a journey. I know it can be frustrating, but what great joy to be connected with those you love and those who love you. And that, most importantly, is our anchor with our relationship with God in Christ. And that's who we want to emulate in this journey called parenting. Gary Thomas, what a delight. Hey, again, congratulations on Sacred Parenting, How Raising Children Shapes Our Souls. It's a book, a must-read for every mom and dad out there. Hey, if you have a son or daughter who's moving into this world, get this book for them. Gary, what a delight to have you. On behalf of Zach and our entire team here, we salute you and pray that God will continue to strengthen your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?